The High Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is High Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, the Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every week, Monday 2 to 3, where we discuss education, we discuss chinuch, we discuss how to influence ourselves to be better people, how to influence the world to be a better place, and everything in between, how to influence our friends, our families, our communities, and just bring the world to the place we want it to be. A lot happening around the world, a lot happening in Israel, and a lot happening in the community. We all had a very stressful Shabbos and weekend. However, we also enjoyed the privilege that there were people we can rely on and trust. And, you know, we're going to be speaking to some of those people. We're going to be speaking today, actually specifically, to the person leading everything in that area. But this is what we do want to speak about, and this is going to be our topic for today, which I think is extremely important, watching what is happening around in every direction. We're going to be talking about where, as individuals, we need to step up our game and take responsibility and get involved in the community life and get involved in doing stuff. And, you know, there's quite a bit of a journey that, since I've been part of the community and very blessed to be part of the community, I've seen a lot of growth in the area of coming to a community that is very established with one organization for every topic. And then that's kind of it. And if anybody has an issue, they have to go in that direction. And not that much individual work and responsibility for our friends, for our neighbors, from anywhere, from any involvement. It could be a donation. It could be supporting socially, emotionally, whatever it is. There are organizations for everything. And I'm seeing a shift. Specifically, the highlight was, I think, since the last few weeks with the horrific war in Israel, so much discussion about what can I do as an individual? What can I do? I'm not connected to any organizations, but I care and I want to do. And the people I'm going to be speaking about it today, and I chose to speak with, are, I'm going to go one by one. You know them all really, I think, very clearly. Starting with, you know, the reason we were able to rest and enjoy our Shabbos, Javon Greenblatt is here in the studio with me, as well as, moving on, I have Benji Shulman, who is Javon, everybody knows you. I didn't even introduce what you do, but I think everybody knows, Director of Operations at CSO. Then we have, Benji Shulman, who is the Director of Public Policy at the, South African Zionist Federation. And Daniel Shea, who is the counselor of Ward 72 here, which I think Daniel has done also an amazing work of kind of taking his position into a very available, being very available to the people. I sometimes wonder how, Daniel, how your family enjoyed their Friday afternoons with no water and electricity in every area, that everything comes to you. But we'll get to all of that in the discussion of, where is our room as individuals in the community to actually step up our game and get involved and be active and live in the world we want to be in. Any comments, any questions, anything you want to direct, 34519 is the SMS line, Telegram 0618951019, where you could even call 0101403020. Good afternoon, Javon. Thank you so much for being with us today. We'll start with you.
Thank you for inviting me.
For maybe there's one person perhaps that doesn't know you, so just introduce yourself.
Yes, sure. My name is Javon Greenblatt. I'm the operational director, as you mentioned, for the community security organization CSO in Johannesburg. We have a small crew of full-time staff, about 22 full-time staff, plus a number of full-time security officers that work through the CSO. It's a subdivision called IRT, which you'd see these individuals standing outside your shuls and schools. And, those are the paid members of the organization, but by the vast majority, most of our organization is made up of volunteers who give of their time, who are passionate about the cause, who have stepped up to ensure that their community can live their Jewish life and Jewish way of life without fear. And I think, you know, this organization, the CSO in Johannesburg, has existed for the last 30 years. In fact, next year is our 30-year anniversary. And thank you. And over the last 30 years, thousands and thousands of volunteers have come to us as an organization, been trained by us to protect their community, their loved ones, give up hours and hours and sometimes days, months and weeks of their time. We send people away for 3-4 weeks at a time to protect our summer camps. And each and every single one of these unbelievable, amazing people has really sacrificed so much in their personal lives, their family lives, their business lives, because they understand that no community, whether it's a Jewish community or any others, can do this alone. We live in a country that has issues around safety and security. We have limitations within our police force. And, you know, we get to see very clearly that no one's going to do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves. But what we've seen internationally over the last couple of years as well is that even in the States and the UK and places where they have functional police forces with the resources that they require to do the job, even those authorities are not able to protect Jewish communities and other communities. And we need to work in partnership with them. We need to take responsibility for ourselves. And then we can ask them to help us along the way.
I love how you said, and that's the beginning for the, for, I think, the topic that we need to discuss. We need to do it for ourselves. And nobody will take care of us if we don't stand up and take care of ourselves. And I think it's on every level. But let's just continue and, welcome everybody to the show. And again, Benji, I'm sure everybody knows you. Benji Shulman, good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity, Rabbi.
Okay, so a bit about your work at the Zionist Federation.
So Zionist Federation, we're the oldest Jewish community organization in the country. Until it got interrupted, it was going to be our 125th year conference that we were going to have, and then we had to turn that into a rally. And really our work is to work on that connection between the Jewish community and Israel. And so, obviously that has cultural elements like ulpans and Israel education and all that sort of thing, which we focus on. But in times like this, we work a lot on the political scene and the public scene. So, for example, in parliament, we have a work a lot with parliamentarians, in the media, in the social media, working with different groups that have civil society, churches, campuses, we work, have a whole division to keep those safe. And so basically our work is to try and make sure that that Israel's image and the Jewish image in the community, is out there and is positive, so that people like Javon might not have to do any work, so that, because there's maybe not such an angry person on the street. So that's, or that they're deterred from doing it in the first place.
Yeah. Although I think that the more people are aware that Javon's around, the less work he'll have to do. But that's another thing we'll get to. We already have to take our first ad break, and we still haven't introduced Daniel Shea, who's the third one on the show. I'll just challenge you during the ads to, if you don't know who Daniel is, just make a search on your personal WhatsApp and see how many times the name Daniel Shea has come up with anything in the city, and you'll know exactly who he is. But a short ad break, and we will be right back.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
So, right before the break, I introduced Javon Grinblatt from CSO and Benji Shulman from South African Jewish Federation. South African Zionist Federation. Sorry about that. And we are here with Daniel Shea. Good afternoon, Daniel. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Rabbi, for having me.
Okay. So, a word about your work, and introduce yourself to the listeners just in case someone has not been here in the past year.
So I'm Daniel Shea. I'm the ward councillor for Ward 72 in Johannesburg, representing the DA in that regard. my role is actually to be an intermediary between the residents and the city. So I'm meant to be the voice of the residents to the city of Johannesburg. Unfortunately, more and more councils are becoming the voice of the city towards the residents as communications fail. But that's basically my role, being the guy who talks to both sides of the coin here and tries to make things happen in our area and make it better.
Okay. Amazing. So, starting this discussion about personal responsibility, I think, you know, I'm looking at the different people here in the studio. And, you know, for, on the one hand, I have Javon, that more and more we hear about what volunteers can do and what the community can do, and which we'll get to, and personal responsibility and standing and, you know, being part of what's going on. On the other hand, Daniel, kind of your work that I'm not even sure if an individual could be involved in support and help. But maybe Benji will start with the middle, because you said, you know, right now you're currently very busy with connecting with, Israel, the government side of things, social media side of things. We know that the war that's happening in Israel on ground is also happening in social media and happening in the news and happening all over. Is there room for individuals that are not professionals to get involved, to help, to support, to be part, to say their opinion? We keep on getting actually messages that, you know, don't get involved if you don't know what you're doing. Don't spread information. Do spread information. Maybe let's make sense of that and where the personal responsibility comes in.
Yeah, Rabbi, thank you. And I think that that's a really helpful place to start. I think the first responsibility is to know in yourself whether you are educated on this or not. Right? Because you can't start, the only thing worse than getting involved, or not getting involved rather, because you should get involved, is getting involved if you don't know what you're doing, because then you come unstuck. So the first things first is get yourself educated. If you go into the Zionist Federation website, there's a WhatsApp group that you can join that will just assist you. We have information that comes out every day that's curated of what's going on, so that you know that it's not fake, that you're not being fed the wrong stuff. And you can join it and you get it and you get the information. We've worked together with the Academy of Thought and Learning, to do a course so that you can understand the core issues around Gaza and that sort of thing. So I think because what happens is with community members is they tend to like share fake news or problematic stuff because they're not aware of what's actually going on. So the first thing that you need to be is actually educated about what's going on. You'll then already be able to make much better and informed decisions and worry yourself and your family less, because if your family WhatsApp group is getting incorrect information, that's a huge issue. So that's number one. Get educated. Stand with us has great materials. The Zionist Fed has great materials. There's a great website called Israel Unpacked, which has little short videos that explains. So use those resources. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to be a bit more educated than you currently are. So that would be number one. If you do feel like you're educated and you want to start making contribution, there's huge amounts of room to do. Letters to newspapers, social media on Twitter. There's groups that we run of social media activists that get involved, so you don't have to do it by yourself. There are if you're a designer, there's opportunities there. All of these sorts of things, if you want to get involved in the information war, you can do it. But you do need to have the resources to be able to do that, and engage. So yeah, I do think there's the option, but you need to know what you're doing.
And are you seeing the community actually stepping up or individuals getting involved in this kind of work or any kind of volunteer work? Or do we still have that feeling, okay, we have an organization, they're dealing with it?
So I actually have to say, first of all, I think your message is very key. At times like these, sometimes, you know, people think that the organizations will do it by themselves, but we are having to fight a lot of fires at the moment, and you can definitely be part of helping to be part of the solution. And I have to say, I've never in my whole history of doing this work, and I've been doing it for a long time, had so many members of the community actually say, well, how can I help? What can I do? And it's been astounding. I think CSO is seeing it on the same as well.
Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah.
This community has been unbelievable. You know, we see it during times like this, and we can talk maybe a little bit about that, about being proactive and preemptive, rather than reactive. But, over the last 3 weeks, we have seen old CSO protectors who are no longer involved in the organization stepping back into the organization and offering their time and resources. We are seeing numerous community members stepping forward and saying, how do I get involved? What can I do? How can I, you know, do one of your basic training courses and things and get involved on the ground? We've seen parents, you know, one of the things is having parents standing shift outside their children's schools or community members standing shift outside their schools. And they don't have to have, you know, super ninja training to be able to do that because they understand the environment better than anyone else. And, you know, we have the resources to manage and deal with threats, but we need to be able to identify those threats beforehand. So we have all structure of community members with less training but much more understanding and sensitivity to the environment stepping in. And we've got many, many people stepping up and doing that, whereas sometimes it's a little bit of a struggle to get parents to leave their, you know, their businesses and do things and step up in the mornings to help out with these shifts. Right now, that's not an issue at all. And then finally, just, you know, the community opening up their hearts. We've probably in the office been fed every single day with another group, whether it's Joburg Jewish Mommies or, you know, the various organizations across the community, raising funds just to send some pizzas or send some burgers or to get some drinks for our patrol ships when they go out onto the roads and things like that. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. And it is, so empowering and so heartwarming, and really, everything we've done over the last 30 years, this makes it all worthwhile.
And, I mean, Jevon is making a huge point, which I think is important to note. You know, at the beginning of the crisis, there was a big call out to donate money to Israel, right? And for the massive crisis that's going on in Israel. And I think it actually so crucial and so important, and it's there, and people are packing boxes, and it's fantastic, and we should do more of it. And we've raised millions from this community, right? But we should also remember that everything that we raise in Israel is also divided by five because of the shekel and the rand and whatever. And the organizations that are in South Africa still have to prosecute a war here in the information, in the defense. And that requires equipment, and it requires t-shirts. And, there's an old joke, you know, to win in South African politics, you need the best songs and the best t-shirts. Now our community can already sing. What we need is, we need lots of t-shirts. People are saying to me, I need t-shirts, you know, of hostages with their faces on them. That costs money. A t-shirt is 50, 60, 70 rand, depending on what you do. And a donation for a number of t-shirts, a huge thing that we can do.
So why are we not hearing that? I have to say that I've, one of my groups personally that I have for Chesed Opportunities, and about 300 members on the group. The first time there was a request on the group, please drop off food for the CSO. That was on Friday. And we're already 3 weeks into this, and CSO has been working. What you're saying about, you know, the needs for the hostages and for the t-shirts and things, haven't heard that around, and haven't heard so much of the discussion of what we can do in our community and the individuals, you know, standing up and doing something. Before you reply to that, I just have to comment because, Daniel, I saw, you know, as Jevon and Ben, you were speaking about everybody getting involved and wanting to be involved. I saw you nodding that you're feeling that as well and seeing that. And I'm curious, where does that come into your line of work? And where is there room for individuals? I don't even know that you have a competition in what you do. It almost feels like you're the one person. So where does that come in a personal, individual, you know, responsibility?
So I occupy two roles, essentially. I've got a city role and a political role. In the political party, we're always looking for more volunteers to assist in driving the change we want to drive, and signing up the A membership. We got over 200 members in the ward. We're doing really well on that. But I'm always looking for more people to help me register extra voters and that luck. And people are stepping up there. But in terms of running the city, in terms of helping our community, we've got a huge number of individuals who stepped up to adopt a park or help adopt a park, or you've got your CAP Green team or your security initiatives. All of these initiatives, yes, they're not directly under the city, but they all help our community. And as a ward councillor, you want to see your community flourish and your area flourish. So getting involved in all these initiatives, and I'm happy to assist people to get involved in these things, it really, really benefits both the work I do and the community as a whole. So there's been a huge uptake in people trying to improve the area for the last year and a half. I've seen a tremendous amount of people come to assist me. Our community isn't short of volunteers and people looking for somewhere to contribute, and thank God they're contributing everywhere they can.
Are we seeing that as, you know, people that with leadership qualities and people that want to make a change, or are we seeing it as a general movement throughout the community? Meaning, I'll say even more. I mean, I remember as a child, we used to go out in the community when, before Israel was that green. We used to go and plant trees and you know, build parks and things like that. Are we seeing kids do that?
So I wouldn't say it's kids, but adults who have an idea, they come to me, they say, I've got this idea. I said, run with it. Here's the contacts. And these are not necessarily people that you know who are leaders of the community. They're some regular people who are taking on projects because they had a vision and they want to see it to fruition.
And so there, and that's in work that is not necessarily relevant to the current crisis. Does that mean you're seeing a consistent growth in that area?
Yes.
Of that responsibility. I'm wondering, you know, we mentioned kids. Javon, I think I saw just now that you're starting training for kids from the age of 12. Is that correct?
Yeah, so as an organization, we've been training children. We'll train children from the age of 6. You know, on situational awareness and stranger danger and those kinds of things. And we've been sending our amazing staff and volunteers into the schools to do some training, both to create a culture of security across our organization and to start that as young as possible, all the way through to actually giving all the kids skills when they're out and about in the world on how to avoid any precarious situations, and then how to defend themselves where possible. But most of the work we do is actually about prevention rather than reacting to something, and that's true for us as an organization as well. There's so much we can do beforehand. You know, all the call training is about the KM and the security and all the stuff that we do, and there's this image around, you know, the movies and, like, you know, the person that comes in and saves the day. But the real person that saves the day is the person that picks up suspicious activity and reports it to us, and we can go and deal with it. And we, whether it's criminal, whether it's terrorism, that's really where the work is done.
Are people doing that?
Starts, yeah, absolutely. Especially now. I mean, I think people are, there's a lot of anxiety in the community. We're seeing an absolute fortune of calls coming through to our 24-hour control room, which is amazing. It's overwhelming, but it's amazing, and the guys are dealing with it very well. But yes, thank God, the community is stepping up, which brings me back to the point of, it's absolutely phenomenal that when the threat is real and it's tangible and you can feel it and people are sensing it all around them, both in Israel, but at home and the diaspora Jewish community, that people step up. But what about the rest of the year? You know, God forbid, but, you know, something can definitely happen now, and tensions are raised and things are very, very hot at the moment. So yes, it does raise the possibility. But any Tuesday or Shabbos, the same thing could happen with some Meshuggah who decides to hear something or do something or take something, you know, take actions into their own hands. So really, really is very important that this doesn't stop when things start kind of, when people get bored with it or when they start kind of simmering down. And we believe that this war is going to go on for many months. And I think that's going to be exhausting emotionally and mentally at every single level. And we must be at the top of our game for now. But when this simmers down and we go back to normal life, that is when people should be stepping up. That's when we've got the time to train people. That's when they should still be phoning things through. And they do to a large degree, but not at this level. This should be our standard.
Which is part of a culture thing that I do want to react to, you know, as we go on the show, because I think it's very important that we look at, you know, largely how do we educate ourselves and our community to a point of personal responsibility, even when there's times are quiet and times are calm. And I'm not talking specifically only with, you know, the organizations you guys are leading. It could be also in, if you see a friend that's struggling financially, and instead of saying, well, we have an organization for that, what can you do? If you see somebody, you know, under stress with physical help or whatever it is. I got an interesting comment, Benji, about what you said. And I think Joan's going to have to answer that. But this is the comment about what Benji said. Okay. Somebody writes, Mike writes like this: I would not be pro wearing t-shirts with hostage pictures, especially in an environment which is largely anti-Jewish and prone to violence. A spiritual action would be to light an extra candle every Shabbos.
So look, I'm prepared
Benji,
to...
you're going to answer that.
Yeah, okay. I think that you've got to be... you've got to listen to people like Javon and CSO and take what they say in terms of, you know, where, what the precautions that they say. But the point about, freedom of speech is that you need to use it and you need to use it in the right way. If we're going to hide away as a community, it's not going to save us. We need to get our voices out there and we need to make it heard. Yes, you need to do it safely. And the way to do that is to speak with CSO. You probably shouldn't wear the t-shirt out into some place which is dangerous, but there are ways to do it. The people who've been asking for t-shirts are, for example, people who operate in churches and want to give that message over to their congregations, or someone who requested one because he works in a political setting and he wanted to make a message. There's lots of ways to communicate and there's lots of ways to do it. But I think when you talk about taking personal responsibility, there is a sense sometimes in our community that maybe we shouldn't raise our heads above the parapet and it'll go away if we just don't say anything. That's not how freedom of speech works. We've got to make our case. We've got to make our case to the wider South African public because they support us. But if they don't see us, then they're not going to do anything.
So, Javon, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, Jewish life is one thing, Jewish way of life is another thing. And, if we're protecting Jewish life, but we're not protecting Jewish way of life, well, we've lost anyway. We can't be proud to be Jews in this country, and anywhere in the world, then we've lost. And it really is important what Benji says, that the community stands up and does things, but it has to be responsible. We've seen some irresponsible behavior. We've seen some very responsible behavior. And I think it really is important that people are proud to be Jewish, proud to wear these t-shirts. But as Benji says, just do it in an environment where you're not going to bring danger to yourself. Do it in a shopping center in Glen Hayes, or when you're walking around, or at school, or whatever else it is. Don't go and walk into like Fordsburg in Asia and try and prove a point.
Avoid mask with that t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Avoid mask at all times.
Or don't arrive at a BDS protest, you know, waving an Israeli flag, or, you know, trying to incite other people to do it. As the Zionist Federation, we had a rally 2 weeks ago. We're going to have another one in 2 weeks. There's an opportunity for you to go out. It's going to be safe. You can be there. You can wear your t-shirt. And we need big numbers to show the government and the country that we're there. That's a good time to do it.
So after the break, I'm going to have to hear from Daniel. Is that affecting, because I did hear a lot of talk around, is that affecting also our relationships with government? And is that affecting our relationships with working in the city? And then also we do need to continue on this topic, but I just can't not ignore about 2 weeks ago, I was getting a whole bunch of messages privately from students and campuses here, about their, you know, just wanting to be students, but at the same time, you know, their worries, etc.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
Okay, so before we continue the discussion, right before the break, we did speak about, you know, living Jewish life here as proudly, not going into, you know, conflict areas or BDS protests. And however, you know, celebrating the Jewish life here and standing strong and having the rallies and, you know, having a stand. And I'm wondering, Daniel, from your side, is this affecting our political connections and relationships with the larger population in South Africa?
So I wouldn't say the larger population in South Africa. I think as Benji's already expressed, a great proportion of South Africa loves Israel and supports Israel. And there's also a great proportion who really don't even care about this conflict either way. There is a portion of the population that doesn't like our opinion on the matter. And unfortunately, that portion has has control of government almost. So we do have to tread carefully as a community, unfortunately. And I think that's a big question on our constitutional rights being protected as a community. And the government will have to answer for that. The fact that Jews are too scared to go to other areas to express their opinion, but other people are welcome to come to our ward to express their opinion. So there's a question. Are we already prejudiced by government? And my answer would be probably yes, we are prejudiced because we don't feel comfortable being ourselves outside of our own bubble. But in terms of actual relationships, in terms of with officials and service delivery, nothing's changed on that front. We'll find out at council tomorrow. It's going to be our first council meeting since this conflict started. We'll see the ANC in full force in Johannesburg and where they're putting their support. So that is going to be probably upsetting for a lot of residents, but it's not going to change the way our services are delivered, and our constitutional rights, which should be protected.
So how far can we go with this? Because, and again, I don't want to go too much off topic, but you know, in the past few weeks, it became very famous that there were some shuls in Johannesburg that have changed the way they pray for the government. Some didn't, you know, everybody stayed with theirs. Is that, are you seeing that in your work?
There's definitely a greater antagonism towards the governing party from the community. The community is angry. I think my own reaction, watching the Rugby World Cup this weekend, and when our president got up on stage and took the trophy, it was pure anger that I felt, that this man doesn't deserve to be there. He's absolute trash. That's my opinion. And I think our community is definitely feeling that way, and they're probably expressing it more loudly. So that's my two cents on it.
That's where it comes into that. I'm going to start from when we talk about universities, specifically from the security point of view, and then because that's your natural venue, that's your natural area. But Javon, students today in the campuses, in, you know, with the BDS movements and everything happening there, is there a real security threat for them? Do they need to be extra careful? Should they not? And I've had so many students ask me about, should I walk into university with my army? Should I not? Should I be identified as Jewish? Should I not? What would you say to them?
So I think Jewish students should be very proud to be Jewish and should live as Jews very comfortably. I think even on campuses, the vast majority is a lot of noise and I won't say hot air because these are serious topics and there are the different opinions and sides. I think there's very, very little chance of a really serious danger to life on the campuses. And I can tell you that between the Zionist Fed and the board and what Benji's done and what we've done, most of the campuses with their securities and their deans are very, very supportive of free speech, but also their security is very aware of the sensitivities and they're ready to respond and react and they deal with whatever they need to on the campuses. To say that there is no threat on campus is, I think, irresponsible. I think students still need to be vigilant. They still need to report things. They still need to speak to their soldiers' representatives if they are experiencing any issues. But they need to be strong. And they need to stand up because these are bullies. The other side are bullies. And the minute you start backing down and showing fear, they become more aggressive and more dangerous. If you push back, the vast majority will walk away. And on campuses themselves, I think the students, regardless of which side, they're not really the problem. Sometimes there are external factors that are brought onto campus that incite real hatred. And those are the ones that universities need to be very, very wary of and not allow foreign influences onto campus like we've seen at UCT and bringing in these terrorists to speak to the students, because those are the ones that incite hatred and anger well beyond just what the students are trying to express themselves.
Okay. Renji, you heard Javon say they're bullies. So if they are bullies, and considering they are, why are they parading in front of Beyachad, and we're doing it at Yeshiva College?
So let's just take a step back and sort the campus thing out, just because you're asking about how people can get involved. If you're a student, that's student activism is not, there's no bureaucracy, there's no difficulty. You can get involved, you can be there, and it's really important. And I want to actually just point to the campuses. If you look overseas, in all of these Western countries with all of these pro-Israel governments that they have, their campuses are on fire. Okay. You can look and see all across our country, there's all these negative things being said by different political parties. There hasn't been a campus in South Africa yet that has made a statement on the Israeli-Palestinian question. You can go look at it, right? And that doesn't come from nowhere. It's because of the work that gets done by the students and work that done by myself and the board and whatever.
By the students or by the organizations?
No, by the students themselves are very active and they're engaged. When this thing started 2 weeks ago, the South African Union of Jewish Students held a prayer rally at Fitz University on the main campus deck and put, and there was, I think, 200 students there. And it's because they're showing force exactly what Javon is saying, because the students prepared show force that the other side's thing looked stupid and they backed off, right? But it's only because students get involved and do what they need to do in order for this to get done, and it's difficult. And if you're talking about volunteerism, the students need to get involved and help soldiers so that they can carry on, because those campuses don't stay safe just by chance. It's because of years of work that goes into that sort of thing, and the students are really good at it. So if you want to help and you're young, that is an amazing place to do it, and by no means should you be taking off your yarmulke, because not only do we have one of the safest campuses in the world, but also our community still has one of the lowest anti-Semitism rates in the world, and we should keep it that way.
Okay, so by that engaging and getting involved, we will keep that continuing running. We are running out of time, and we do have our last break. When we come back, and I'm going to ask now before the break so we get a time, I'd love to hear from each of you your thoughts, hopes, and vision for the community going forward. What do we want to educate on? What do we want to teach? Where do we want to go? And where do we want to be in a place that everybody gets involved and active, and just hope for that to come true? We'll do that right after the break.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and really towards the end of this show, and I don't think we covered nearly what we should have, but that's usually what happens on this show. So, looking forward, where are we going, and what do we hope to see in the next decade? Javon.
That is, unfortunately, my glass ball or crystal ball isn't working at the moment. I think the reality is that this isn't going to go away. This is the reality until Mashiach arrives, that the Jewish community is going to be put under more and more pressure in Israel and across the diaspora. So let's not wish this away and pretend.
Well, what are we hoping to see?
Let's not wish this away and pretend that it's not going to, that it's not real. I think what needs to happen is the community. I would like to see that the community is proactive. I'd like to see that the community adopts a culture of security without causing panic and fear, and without being paranoid, that they just quietly get on and get involved in the security of their community, of their facilities, of their family, that they come to us, they get proactively trained, and that we work together to, as I say, our job is to prevent attacks, not to stop attacks. If we can all work together and be vigilant around the world, around our country, that we can prevent real threats from ever arriving on our doorstep. Please, and that's for the community to
amazing.
Get involved.
Benji, one sentence?
Yeah, just in one sentence. The last 3 weeks that we've done, as difficult as it's been, that was the easy part. This war is now moving into a next phase. If Hezbollah gets involved, it's going to get even more difficult. And what we need to see is what I think the theme of this show is that as a whole community, we're going to have to work now and build now and make sure that we got everything that we need in order to move forward. And that starts with the sort of volunteering activities that we've discussed.
Okay. Daniel, one sentence before Craig fires me.
So what I want to see is a community in control of their narrative that understands who they are and where they are, and the community that's growing, that's comfortable. And I think that's going to take activism and involvement to ensure that we are comfortable as a community moving forward and that we know exactly who we are and what we stand for. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Javon. Thank you, Benji, for being here. Amazing show. Thank you, Craig, for all your work. Thank you, Sana. Stay safe, and we will be back next Monday, 2 to 3, as we do.